Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn, and we're here for another day in pandemic paradise. This episode is sponsored in part by DigitalOcean. If you want a cloud provider that doesn't make things overly complicated, that doesn't require weeks or months of cloud school, and gets you up and running with world-class documentation, consider DigitalOcean. I'm a big fan. I suspect you will be too. Visit do.co/morning to get started. And let me know what you think. I'm curious to hear other people's opinions on these things as well. Now, what did AWS get up to last week? A lot. But before we get into that, let's talk about what's coming up this week. Specifically, they're having an online summit. I will be on the internet entertaining people during this, whether people want me to be or not. That is the joy and curse of Twitter all at the same time. Hopefully I'll see some of y'all there. Now, let's see what happened last week. Add enriched metadata to Amazon VPC flow logs published to CloudWatch logs and S3. What the hell is my app doing is no longer the same now that it doesn't require a scavenger hunt through four separate AWS service consoles to isolate what a particular flow includes. Amazon Chime adds new policies to govern meeting access. I'm sad to report that my days of sneaking into online AWS meetings and pretending that I belong there have come to an end. Amazon CloudWatch Logs Insights now allows you to save queries, and another opportunity presents itself to mess with your coworkers. These queries are account-wide. So amuse and delight them by making them ask, what on earth is this saved query? Then horrify them when they figure out what that query is and what data it returns. Amazon CloudWatch now monitors Prometheus metrics, now in beta. If you use this, please be remarkably careful with how you set it up to avoid some billing unpleasantness. Otherwise, it won't just be Prometheus chained to a rock while an eagle tears out his liver. Amazon Code Guru Reviewer announces pull request dashboard. There's a spectrum of customer respect. There's customer obsession. Then there's ignoring your customers. Then there's actively insulting your customers. And then all the way at the far end, we have this line from the release announcement. To contact the team, visit the Amazon Code Guru Developer Forum. Amazon EC2 now supports aliases for Amazon Machine Images, AMIs. And of course, some of you sadists have already started naming some of those AMIs Amy. Amazon LightSail Firewall now supports source IP-based rules and ping. This is interesting because, wait a minute, why is AWS capitalizing the word ping like it's an acronym? It isn't. In fact, Wikipedia states the acronym Packet Internet Groper for ping has been used for over 30 years, and although Moose, the founder, says that from his point of view, ping was not intended as an acronym, he has acknowledged Mill's expansion of the name. So, ping's author states it's not an acronym but chooses not to fight it. I don't understand why picking a petty nonsense fight like that is something someone would do, but that's okay. Everyone makes their own lifestyle choices, even if I make different ones. So why is AWS spelling it this way in all caps? If they wanted to be pedantic, they wouldn't do this. They'd instead refer to it as ICMP Type 8 Echo Request and alienate everybody. But no, they're just picking a very esoteric spelling that nobody accepts and working into feature releases solely to mess with me. Well, I'm onto your game, AWS. I see you. You won't fool me that easily. I'm better now. Amazon S3 Batch Operations adds support for S3 Object Lock. By the time you're applying legal holds to individual S3 objects in bulk, your day has just been absolutely ruined. Announcing higher EBS and networking performance and one-year reservation purchase option on Amazon EC2 high memory instances. High memory instances is a charitable term for these multi-terabyte RAM monstrosities. Their names are just long random strings that feel like dumps of their collective firmware. So even AWS gave up on mispronouncing them and have given them that catch-all term instead. Let's cut over for a second to something that doesn't have a terrible name. ExtraHop. is another sponsor this week, and ExtraHop provides threat detection and response for the enterprise. On-prem security doesn't translate well to cloud or multi-cloud environments, and that's not even counting IoT, because who even wants to try? ExtraHop automatically discovers everything inside the perimeter, including all your cloud workloads and IoT devices. It detects threats up to 95% faster, and it helps you act immediately. Ask for a free trial of detection and response for AWS at extrahop.com/trial. And tell them I sent you, because they're probably going to come back with something like, who? Oh, that guy. We hope very much to block him out entirely. But drop my name anyway, just to terrify people. I get a kick out of that. And thanks to ExtraHop for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. Announcing new query monitoring capabilities in the Amazon Redshift console. It's great that the Redshift console now flags the expensive queries you're running, but the please run more like this query so I can buy a boat tooltip that pops up for the really expensive ones is a little bit much. Announcing Route Analyzer in AWS Transit Gateway Network Manager. Why is TCP terminating on the floor is now presumably answered without 4 hours on the phone speaking to an overworked professional. AWS Step Functions now supports AWS Code Build Service Integration, wherein your crappy CI/CD practices turn them instead into AWS Stomp functions. AWS Systems Manager Explorer now provides a multi-account summary of trusted advisor checks. Once again, a terrible name within Systems Manager. I'd call this rough roundup of trusted advisor checks plausible advisor if it were up to me, and even that is stating it generously. AWS Trusted Advisor adds 5 cost optimization checks, and they all come down to reserve capacity recommendations at a time when nobody knows what next week is going to look like. Introducing Amazon RDS Ready Partners. A major problem with RDS has been fixed. Namely, vendors weren't able to easily sell you things to bolt onto RDS. Introducing AWS Trusted Advisor Explorer. Last year, AWS signed a partnership with Ford. It was all over the news. It was unclear what Ford was getting in return. Now we know. Naming rights to an AWS service. Introducing the new AWS SaaS competency. There are now additional boxes to check for all of those AWS consulting partners who are left twiddling their thumbs during this downturn. Neptune Streams feature is now available outside of lab mode. This is a forward-looking feature for the day when someone will need a graph database outside of a test lab. NoSQL Workbench for DynamoDB adds support for Linux, but only some distros. Amazon releases a Linux desktop application that doesn't support Amazon Linux. EC2 price reduction. For EC2 instance savings plans and standard reserved instances. At a time when market uncertainty is skyrocketing and no one knows what their AWS bill is going to look like next week, AWS has put its EC2 reserved instances on sale. This is a good thing. It just isn't as good for a lot of folks this month as it would be during a time that wasn't in the middle of an uncertain recession. General availability of UltraWarm for Amazon Elasticsearch Service. You know, I made fun of Chaos Search because they used to spell their name Chaos Search in all caps, and then they fixed it, so now the C and the S are capitalized, and that's it. I make fun of AWS for their naming foibles, and instead of fixing it, they double down by giving service features names like UltraWarm. It sounds like a personal lubricant. New AWS Elemental Link. Deliver live video to the cloud for events and streams. That's right. Live video now comes with free 2-day shipping. And lastly, 90% price reduction for AWS IoT jobs globally. Now, price cuts are great things, but it's hard to read a 90% plus price reduction as anything other than a tacit admission that AWS completely biffed it on the pricing model. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I am cloud economist Corey Quinn. This is the AWS Morning Brief, and you have made a terrible series of choices by listening to me. Please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, regardless of whether you've liked it or not, and tell me how awesome I am. Spoiler, very.
This has been a Humble Pod production. stay humble.